Noswaith dda. Oh, that's well done, well done. Bore da is easier. Lovely that we had the prayer, and let's be honest, we're tired. It's been a lovely warm day. We've done stuff, and we're tired, but there's some stuff I really want to pass your way, so we do require Holy Spirit help here. Guard the gospel, know it, communicate it, celebrate the grace, let it permeate our souls, that our lives will be full of grace. And now Paul says to Timothy, mate, you've got to be brave. I'm passing the baton on, and it takes courage. They never told me that, by the way, when I signed on, that Norman Warren booklet, which was brilliant. It never said, by the way, you're going to have guts, to have guts if you follow Jesus Christ. But it's the reality. Here's some verses. I can pick up some verses in chapter 2. That's under that first line on the first page, if you're following. You then, my son, that lovely intimacy of Paul and Timothy. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering, like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete doesn't receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, we shared that this morning, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that's in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here's a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. Then a bit lower down, it's the next chapter, in verse 10 of the next page. Can you see that? You, however, this is Paul, you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance. That word endurance comes up 5 or 6 times, doesn't it? Persecution, sufferings. What kinds of thing happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? The persecutions I endured, there it is again. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Let's just read that line again, because that wasn't in Norman Warren's booklet. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Well, yes, there's an enemy. As for you, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And then verse 16, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. That's where it appears. 2 Tim is full of phrases. You think, that's where it occurs. Pray that God will bless that reading to our hearts. Got to be brave to follow Jesus. And the issue Paul has in this dungeon, he's hard to find, by the way, the end of chapter 1, Onesiphorus finds him, but it took him a while to find him. This dungeon is a dingy place. It's hidden away. And poor old Paul is contemplating the future of this fledgling faith. And Timothy is young. That's good. He's in post. That's good. And he thinks highly of him. But he's not naturally a brave person. It's a very interesting verse, 1 Corinthians 16. When Paul writes to the Corinthians, he says, if Timothy comes to you, see to it he has nothing to fear while he is with you. You know, in other words, yeah, I know, I sound a little bit pathetic. I don't think it's quite as pathetic as that, but if he's with you, make sure he's okay, in brackets, because he can be a little bit timid. So I think that's the interpretation we get from that. We need courage. We need courage. What is courage anyway? Well, here's a couple of definitions as to what courage might be. That's all Bishop Butler. We'll skip past him. Oh, dear. This is from this morning. We'll get there. There we are. I think the John Wayne one is the cowboy. Have a look at some of people's versions of what courage might be there. I like the third one down. Courage can't see around corners, but goes around them anyway. And courage is doing what you're afraid to do. Then Churchill with a quote there. There can be no courage unless you're scared. And I think that's important. Courage comes when there's uncertainty. And when there's uncertainty, there's the opportunity for faith. And guess what God loves? He loves faith. So there's a clear link here between courage, I think, and faith. Oh, this is Homer's wisdom, which isn't quite what we would go along with, but he said famously, and a lot of us actually, although we might laugh, that's our philosophy. Let's keep our heads down. Let's keep things nice and safe. This is beautiful. Courage doesn't always roar. Sometimes courage is the little voice at the end of the day that says, I'll try again tomorrow. I think that's quite precious and quite beautiful. And C.S. Lewis, again, always good for a quote, he basically says, courage isn't just one of the virtues. He says, actually, it's the one that holds everything else together. Because it takes courage to love. It takes courage to forgive. It takes courage. Well, he says here, Pilate was merciful till it became risky. The pivotal role of courage in the way that people live and the way that we as Christians are meant to live. Viktor Shishenko was a Ukrainian politician. He complained that the Soviets were out to poison him. That's the same man, by the way, within a few months, I think. I think he had a point, and of course it's poignant for us now because we think certain tricks have been played again. And he was the 2004 running for the Ukrainian presidency. The thought was that he would win, but the Soviet or the Soviet-backed opponent won the election. And it was announced on Ukrainian TV, and it was announced that the opponent had won. And they had signage, the TV national broadcaster, in the corner of the screen. We see it sometimes. There was a person doing deaf sign language. Now, please, I don't sign, so please don't be offended or whatever. But there was signage going on. And the newsreader was announcing that the opponent, another chap called Viktor, had won. And the newsreader, the sign reader, as she was signing, was saying to the people of Ukraine, this man is telling you that the so-and-so has won. He is lying through his teeth. I suggest we meet Grand Square, Kiev, 11 o'clock this evening. That's what she signed. And at 11 o'clock this evening, you've guessed it, it was something called the Orange Revolution. And they had to have a re-election, and this time Viktor Shishenko ended up winning. That was a very brave thing that woman did. It takes courage to bring about change. The gospel of grace, more than anything, brings about change. But we do need courage. It's linked with faith, as I've said. We need courage to resist temptation. It's a brave thing to stand in the face of attack. It's a brave thing to forgive someone. You might think that's a strange thing to say. If you forgive someone, you are giving up the right to get even. That's what it means. Brave thing. It's a brave thing to write that letter, to end that relationship, to begin to renew a relationship. Sometimes it's a brave thing to say those words. I've shared this with Mike, so I'm sure you'll be okay me saying this, but as a 16-year-old at Mac, I was starting to do some talking in the young people's group. And Mike kindly gave me a lift home one day, and he said, Jim, he said, as I was about to get out, he said, just a word of advice, he said, you've got to learn how to finish when you're talking. You've got to learn how to finish. It's your judgment whether, of course, his advice as you know, 40 years later. But here's a 16-year-old starting to think, oh, I'm quite enjoying this. And it was Mike telling me I had to finish. Now, that's another thing. But the natural inclination is to say, well, looking back, that was just the right thing to say. And also, I didn't realise what a brave thing that was to say. You've got a young guy who's finding his way. It would be easy to overstate that and to crush it, to crush that little thing that's starting to grow. And maybe it was exactly the right thing to say. But it was a brave thing to say. Just the nuts and bolts of what we do involves courage. Sometimes just to hang on in there involves courage. Can I be a little bit cheeky? And I hope you'll take this right, I'm sure. Sometimes courage in the way we release worship. Now, I'm not criticizing at all, and I'm not going all Pentecostal at all, and I've loved this thing, and the worship has been absolutely top-notch. But I was one of those who was very, very, very judgmental, was I, of anybody who did anything with their hands in a worship service. Oh, you can't do that. Oh, bringing attention to themselves and blah, blah, blah. Very, very judgmental. But then two things happened. One thing, I found that when I was singing at home a worship song, naturally kind of my hands would do things in the privacy of home. And the other thing was, if it came to a song that said, let your flag fly high on the banner, well, everyone would be quite happy about hands going all over the place. And sometimes I just wonder. When I used to go to Cicada City, The first time I ever went to a game, I was brought up on Oi the Rovers, and if a goal went in, it would be, "Great shot, Blackie. Well done, Roy. What a good goal." And that was, I was brought up on that. I was wondering what would happen when Cardiff scored. Now, because it was Cardiff City, it took a few games. But they did score. They lost 3-2 to Bristol City, but they did score. And there wasn't any debate. People said, "Oh, well done." Yes! It was even just one word. And the hands and everything, and there we are. I will just throw that at you, and just a pawn. Sometimes courage in doing something in a way that's not been done before. Certainly we need courage to communicate the gospel. Paul says, Ephesians 6, "Pray for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." This is Paul saying, "Give me a hand here. Pray for me that I'll have the courage that I need, Paul, to communicate the gospel." Now, if Paul's saying that, we can feel we're in good company. Philippians 1, "I hope and expect to have sufficient courage to live for Christ." I need courage to live for Christ, says Paul. I hope I have it. I hope I have it. Do not wait for brave feelings to come. I don't think it's courage then. Courage comes when you do something, when it's around the corner and you don't know what's coming. Hebrews 11, "They," that's godly people, "became powerful in battle." It was in the doing that the courage came. Just want to look at Paul now to Timothy, because that's fine. We need courage. Okay, so thank you. We know that as if we didn't anyway. How do we get that courage? How are we encouraged? That's the literal meaning of the word courage. And Paul to Timothy, there's four or five things that I would share that I think very useful. One, he uses words. He used particular words. He says, "Be strong." And that straight away indicates to me that Timothy wasn't a naturally strong personality. You don't go to Samson when he's got his hair and say, "Samson, be strong." That would just be superfluous. You don't say, "Goliath, be tall." That's just foolish. So he's saying be strong to someone. I think it's an implication that he isn't naturally strong. "Be strong," he says. "Do not be ashamed." Repeatedly through that letter, "Do not be ashamed. Endure hardship. Keep your head. Keep going." All the way through the letter. They're words, and they're important, and words matter, words count, of course. Mike's words to me counted, they matter. But words by themselves, do you know, they can have an instant impact, but they soon wear off. We need a bit more than that. And Paul then reminds Timothy of the Holy Spirit. He says, "Guard it," guard this gospel. He doesn't just say guard it, he says, "Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us." Holy Spirit weekend, of course, Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit who lives in us. An awful lot of what Paul does to Timothy, you'll have picked this up, he's reminding him of stuff he knows. An awful lot in the Christian walk, as we receive teaching and so on, it's usually reminders of things that we have known. And that's fine, but let's make sure we are reminded. And I remember when I first came across, my eyes were open to the fact that this Holy Spirit is a person, he's real. Remind that we forget. It's not just us. It's with the help of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit is one of, says Paul to Timothy, one of power, love, and self-discipline. Not one of timidity. Again, that implication that maybe Timothy is a timid old soul. But the Spirit he gives us is of power, love, and self-discipline. The times I've gone into school on a working day thinking, not quite sure how I'm going to make it through, Lord, today. There's a lot of pressure going on. And you find yourself thrown back to, "But Lord, I trust the Holy Spirit who lives in me. It's not me. The Holy Spirit who lives in me, Lord, it says that he is of love and of power. Can I just know that working through my life today?" And of course, he never disappoints. And he says to Timothy as well, "Fan into flame the gift of God." It's encouraging. Have courage. Recognize and understand you're not on your own. The Holy Spirit of the living God lives within you. You have been gifted in particular ways. Fan into flame. Now, here's again that juxtaposition. God's sovereignty, God's work, and our role in that. The musicians are brilliant. The way worship has been led has been absolutely fantastic. But they practice it. That, don't they? They don't just pitch up. It's a practice. It's a God-honoring thing. They're exercising their gift, but there's a human element as well, whereby they do what they need to do to make it a God-honoring thing. Fan into flame the gift of God. Oh yes, and this Spirit is a Holy Spirit. And he is easily, I think, offended by sin and by lazy living. The Holy Spirit is pictured as a dove, not, if I can use this phrase, not as a seagull. When lunchtime is near an end in our school, that the seagulls are waiting on the top of the buildings. They're just waiting. The bell goes, kids come in, by and large, and the seagulls just swoop on all the unfinished sandwiches that our kids have left around. And they're vicious brutes. Doves are very delicate. It doesn't take much for a dove to run for safety. And the Holy Spirit is a dove, and we can quench the Holy Spirit, we can grieve the Holy Spirit, and consequently, we will lose some of the power that he is able to exercise in our lives. So Paul says to Timothy, look, there's some strong words here. Come on, you can do this. A bit of oil. But that's not enough. So he says, remember, you're not alone. The Holy Spirit of the living God, the person of the Holy Spirit. Think on that again. Be reminded of that this evening, is the person who lives within you. Thirdly, he says, I pray for you constantly, day and night. You want courage? You want to be encouraged? Get people to pray for you. Get people to pray for you. Our Auntie Joyce, my Auntie Joyce, I know doesn't get up much. Her knees are shot through more or less. But I know she mentions by name all my family every day. I know that. And when it's time for her to leave this scene, there'll be a gap, I know, in the coverage that my family has. I don't know how prayer works. Let's be honest. Who does? And yet it seems quite clear that when we are praying for one another, differences occur. The universe changes because of prayers that we make. Sometimes I'll be driving into school again and just a face from the past might come in, or a name. And I just feel inclined to pray. And sometimes I think, well, I haven't met this person for years. What should I pray? Well, here's a thought. Pray they might have courage. Whatever they're doing, pray when that name comes. Say, Lord, I pray they'd have courage. Yeah. It takes guts to follow you. Pray for them. Fourthly, Paul says, look at me, he says. Not in a boastful way. This is Paul saying to Timothy, look, it's possible to do this. I've got to the end. I have fought the fight. I have run the race. I'm more or less done now. I've endured. I've overcome with the Lord's help. It's possible to do this. Do not underestimate. Those of us who are more mature in years, do not underestimate the value for those of us who are following on, recognizing that someone here has lasted the course. It's hugely encouraging for those of us who are coming behind. Two final things for us to receive courage, for us to grow in courage, our willingness to do things for Christ. Says Paul, remember Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12, fix your eyes on Jesus. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. He endured it all for the joy that was set before him. Remember Jesus when the going gets tough, when you're thinking, I'm not sure I can handle this. Remember him because he handled everything for you. It was a party. It was, it was 5 or 6, and it was a very good party. It was in something called in Swansea, Jungle Jim's Jumping Bonanza. I thought I'd made that up, but obviously the people know Jungle Jim. And this is one of those places where you have bouncy castles and swings. And it's the kind of thing when the dads, there were a few dads at the party, and they're thinking that they never had anything like that in my day. And they're also thinking when the kids are in for their, you know, having their food, would anyone notice if we kind of snuck on? But at the end of the party, it ended as all good parties do. There was a party bag and we were filing out. And along with the party bag, there was a gas-filled balloon on a piece of string. Oh, nice way to finish off a good party. The little girl in front of us, I guess excited, had sweaty palms, I guess, and she let go her balloon. And the gas-filled balloon did what gas-filled balloons do. It flew up to the ceiling, and there was the cord. And so the mum and the rather distraught girl looked to the tracksuit-clad assistants in Jungle Jim's Jumping Bonanza, and they all in turn jumped and couldn't reach it. And in utter desperation, you might guess where this is going, in utter desperation, they turned to me because I was next in line. Well, I had a go and missed miserably. But I had another go, and whether it was a gust of wind or something, but Alan Wynne Jones-like, I just was up, and that didn't deserve quite the laugh that it got. But I returned to the little girl, and there was that round of applause, and my little boy was looking at me like he'd never looked at me before. And as we left, I'd felt something that I hadn't felt for a while, and this is sad, but my kids, certainly getting at 6, had realised it wasn't cool to hold his dad's hand. He was happy to kind of trug along. But on this occasion, I felt his hand. And it wasn't because he was suddenly worried about crossing the roads in Park Tawi there. No, no, I knew what he was doing. He was saying, "Dad, doesn't that very often, but you've done something that is relatively cruel." And I don't mind that people know we're connected. I don't mind that people know I belong to you. You see, we do like to be on the winning side. Impress me, people. What's this? Oh, very good. Thank you, Dave. Some people say it's Swansea City. No, not Swansea. This is a Spurs shirt. It's a Christmas present. My wife got me in 1994. Spurs at MIT. When I was growing up, please don't be offended, Cardiff City fans. You support Cardiff because that's where you're born, but you're also allowed to support a good team in those days. And I chose for whatever reason Tottenham Hotspur. And fair play, it's my team, and she bought me this. It's not in bad. This is a quarter of a century old, and it's not bad nick. And there's a reason. I never wear it. Well, I don't wear it out the house, and there's a reason for that. Spurs never win anything. Now, they're a half-decent team, otherwise I wouldn't be even telling you this now. But they're a half-decent team now. The last time they won the equivalent of the Premiership was the year of my birth. We're talking serious history here. They just don't win. And forgive me, I'm a bit embarrassed about that. We like to be on the side that's winning. And here's a story from Terry Yorath. Now, Terry Yorath used to manage Wales. And his son, Danny, he's the father, by the way, of Gabby Logan. Some of you might remember Gabby, this very, I think, very good sports presenter. She always sticks up for Wales. And there's a reason her dad was managing of the Welsh football team. And Daniel Yorath, very sadly, there was tragedy in the family. 16-year-old Daniel Yorath was just kicking a ball at the back. He just died. He had a rare heart disease, if you remember. And Terry Yorath was telling people what his son was like. And he said, "Well, I'll tell you what he was like. They used to live in Leeds. That's where Terry Yorath was based, even though he managed Wales." And it was the day after Terry Yorath's team, Wales, had lost 5-0 away in Romania. Not great. And as he called to Daniel, as he was off to a sixth form college, he looked out the window by Dad. He noticed that Daniel was wearing the full Wales tracksuit, going to a Leeds college 12 hours after Wales had a terrible drubbing at the hands of the Romanians, saying, "Dad, I don't care they got beat. It's your team. I stand with you." That's powerful. We love to be on the side that's winning. And yet there's something very powerful in those who make a stand when actually that isn't the popular thing to do. You do know, don't you, that the Lord Jesus wears our shirt. You do know, don't you, that he takes our shirt. He knows what it's like. The Word was made flesh. What does that mean? Well, he becomes one of us. Hebrews, he identifies with us. Hebrews again, he is not ashamed to call us brothers. He is not ashamed of us for all our rubbish. He puts on our shirt, as it were, and says, "I'll stand with them." They called him, didn't they, the friend of tax collectors and sinners. And they meant that as a real abuse. Oh, there's plenty of us over the years who've taken great hope in that. He's the friend. He's happy to be known as the friend of sinners. He wears our shirts. He identifies with us. He comes amongst us. He knows what it's like. So Paul says to Timothy, remember Jesus Christ when the going gets tough. Remember who it is we're making a stand for. Remember him. Of course, he wears our shirts. He gives us his. Isaiah 61, he arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. Where'd I come from? It's this exchange of shirts. He has my rubbish and he gives me his robe of righteousness. Oh, hallelujah. This is the one that Paul says, remember. Will you stand for him when the going gets tough, when criticisms rain in, when it's not the popular thing to be known as a Christian? Would you remember the one who actually stands in your place? And he wears this all the way to Calvary's Hill. He takes it up that hill. And he bears my sin in his body on the tree. He wears my shirt. He gives us his shirt. But he says, I want you to wear it. Lee Dixon is a football pundit. He used to play for Arsenal, but his team was Manchester City. And back in the day, Manchester City were playing at Liverpool, and he got some tickets, but there was a mistake, and he ended up in the Liverpool end, the cop end, and he had his Manchester City scarf on. When did it change to wearing shirts? It's much cooler to wear scarves, isn't it? This idea of middle-aged men walking around with shirts as if the team was suddenly short and they'd call someone down from the stand. When did that happen? Scarves are so much crueler. There we are. So here he is, but he's in the Liverpool end, and he's all covered up. And Manchester City in those days did something unusual. They scored. And he couldn't help himself. He jumped up. And his coat flew open. And his scarf was there for all to see. And we're talking about the cop in Liverpool back a few years. Lee Dixon tells a story. A Liverpool docker from the back of the cop, a huge man, marches down right to the front where Lee Dixon is standing. And he grabs him by the lapels, the coat, opens the coat, reveals the scarf. He says this. I can't do a Scouse accent. He says, "Never be ashamed of your colours, son," he said. "Never be ashamed of your colours." Well, Jesus says to us, don't be ashamed of my colour. I'm not ashamed of you. I took your shirt all the way. I want you to wear mine. What are his colours? Jesus came full of grace and truth. It takes courage to be gracious. It takes courage to stand for truth. They are his colours. Wear my colours, he says. Don't be ashamed of your colours, son. It's a final thing that Paul says. He says, remember Jesus Christ. For courage, for encouragement. Remember him. Keep your eyes on him. But he also says, and I think this is very important, he says, if we die with him, we shall live with him. Doesn't mean physical death, I don't think. I think he's talking about dying to self. Where do we get courage from in the end? Bizarrely, my daughter loves the American series on the Second World War, The Band of Brothers. And there's a character in the band, it's a true story, based on D-Day and all that stuff. Lieutenant Spears is renowned amongst the soldiers as being a man totally fearless. He rushes a German tank or something, and he takes a gun position almost single-handed. And the words amongst the soldiers are, this man is just bravery personified. And someone once said to him, Lieutenant Spears, he said, is it true you did this? Is it true you did that? Yes, says the man. He said, where'd you get the courage from? And Spears said, the thing to know, son, is that you're dead already. Realize that you're dead already and everything else just comes. And actually, in a strange way, spiritually, he's right. The Lord said, if you love your life, you'll lose it. If you lose it for me, if you're prepared to die for me, then actually, you'll gain it. Where was Jesus most brave? Maybe that's a strange question. Where was Jesus most brave? Was it in the act of crucifixion? No, I think the bravery was in the secret place, because here's the point I'm coming to. For us to be courageous and to be enabled, therefore, to live for our God, we need to know courage in the secret place, the place of surrender. And Gethsemane is where our Lord Jesus encountered the agony of it all. Father, we've got the words written. If we were, what they call it, airbrushing the Gospels, we probably miss out Gethsemane. But we're so glad it's there, because the reality of our Saviour is to say, Father, he says, I wish there was another way. That's what it says. I wish there was another way. Please let this cup pass from me. And the battle is going on. But he comes to that point of surrender, doesn't he? When he says, not my will, thine be done. And at that moment of courage, of dying to self, it's almost as if everything else just now falls into place. Courage in that secret place. Surrender in that secret place allows the courage, if you like, just to work through. Paul says to Timothy, guard the gospel. I think the Holy Spirit says to us, to the group of people, you're here for a purpose and for a reason. It's not a fluke of history. I want you to guard the gospel. I want you to look after it. I want you to know it. I want you to communicate it. I want you to live it. And you're going to have to be brave. But I want you to be encouraged. And my spirit lives within you. Remember my son who wears your shirt. Don't be afraid of his colors. And learn what it is in that secret place. Maybe day by day. Just to unravel your hands as we grapple with our own pride and how we look in the eyes of other people and how good we come across. Let that all go. Die to self in the dust. Let it go in the dust. And then I can do something with the life that you give me. Die to self that he might live. Lord, this is quite a challenge, this courage thing. There's not many of us here who naturally would claim to be brave. But Lord, you do require us to have faith in you. You do require courage from us. Help us encourage one another. Help us pray for one another. Help us look out for one another. Help us remember our Lord Jesus. Help us not to be ashamed of wearing his colors, whatever that means. Help us surrender to the great lover of our souls. Amen. Amen.